And I probably forgot to announce for children, but I think they're all out if they're here. So somebody took control there. Children's Church is dismissed. John chapter 10 is where we're at. And as we prepare to read God's Word, once in a while, I don't do it every Sunday, but once in a while, I like for you to declare that God's Word is truth. And so if you can agree with me on the words that I say, just shout them out. This is the Word of God. I know it's true. I will live for God, and I will follow His Word with the best of my ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 2, it says, "The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus said this figure of speech, or used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. How often do you feel that way? You get direct revelation from God, and then you go, what? Huh? Please elaborate. So he does, verse 7. "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life," and I like this best, "and have it to the full." You know, the world thinks they're really, really pulling one over on us. The world thinks they're really pulling one over on the church. I mean, they really think they're living it up. They're going to the big parties. They're doing the big stuff. They're doing the whatevers to have that high, whatever that high might be. They really think they got life to the fullest. And they're oh so wrong. You know, it's interesting. I've spoken with so many different people that have gotten radically saved out of lives of well, let's just say the party life, okay? So many times, over and over throughout the years. And here's the thing, they've said over and over to me, when they were in the midst of the parties, it was only while they were at the highest of the high that they felt worth anything at all. And they didn't find true life and true joy until after Jesus Christ became their Lord and Savior. Everything else was a lie. They are telling me this. I didn't preach it to them. They're telling me it was all a lie. All the laughter, all the fun, all the cruising, all the parties, all the wild stuff, all the sleeping around, all these things. It was all a lie. I never felt fulfilled. I never really was happy. It was just a big, big lie. And I know why. Because only through Jesus Christ can you have life to the full. Only through Him will you truly find the fulfillment you're looking for. There is no marriage that can compete with that, as awesome as marriage can be. Ladies, I'm going to tell you, your husband, I know this is going to come as a shock to you. I know what it did for Tina. Your husband is not God. Oh, whoa, are you sure? Yeah, come on now, ladies, you know he's far from it, right? And guess what, guys, neither is your wife. As awesome as she is, she's not God. And as wonderful as it is to have a marriage where God is at the center, your marriage will never fulfill unless God is there with you. As wonderful as it is. And so I say these things to challenge you with understanding.
I think the light's supposed to be on or not. We'll see if it lasts. Suddenly I was talking to myself up here and it felt very strange. Blue, blue. There I am. There's blue. I can just use this. Don't worry about it. Okay, where was I? I don't remember. Huh? Your wife isn't God. She may make apple pies as well as God does, but she isn't God. All right. Well, let's get back to the main point of what I wanted to truly get across. And that is that we must follow the voice of God. Jesus is sharing this example to his disciples and the people around that a shepherd's voice is known by the sheep. And the sheep will follow the shepherd. Do we got all fired up again? You guys are awesome. Hey, we're on. This is a good time to take a break from the seriousness of the message. And let's have a little fun, shall we? Is that okay? All right. These are things that make you go, huh? What? Really? These are just fun things. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Okay, here's another good one. Only in America do banks leave vault doors open and then chain the pens to the counters. I don't know about you, but I know people that do this. Good friends of ours back in Clark. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put all our junk in the garage. I don't know if this one's true anymore because somebody got smart, but I know this was true, and I think it still is to some extent. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. What sense does that make? I want to talk to the grocery people here. No. I think there are some companies that started figuring that out. But only in America do they have drive-up ATM machines with Braille lettering. Come on, think about it. What's up with that? Have you ever wondered why when you're out in the sun that your hair gets lighter but your skin gets darker? Not sure why that is. Here's a good one. Why don't you ever see the headline saying, "Psychic wins lottery"? Here's a fun one. Why is abbreviated such a long word? Why is it that doctors call what they do practice? It concerns me just a little bit. Probably not as much as airports where they have terminals. And this is a good one. Why is lemon juice made with artificial flavor and dishwashing soap made with real lemons? Not sure why that is. This will make you think. Why is the man who invests all your money called a broker? I'm not sure. This doesn't really affect us here in Glendive too much, although I have seen some of this. Why is it the time of day with the slowest traffic called rush hour? Yeah, I don't know. Rush minutes, that's what I hear. Why are they called apartments when they're all stuck together? I don't know. You're going to like this one. If con is the opposite of pro, is Congress the opposite of progress?
I'll end with one that's a groaner. This one's bad, but I got to read it. Why don't sheep shrink when it rains? Not sure. That was a good time for a timeout. I like to ask these funny questions. I remember as a kid, I was always wondering, how did they get the lead in the pencil? I don't know how it got there. And then on one of those PBS specials, they showed a factory making lead pencils. I was amazed. I'd like to go back and watch it again. Wow. And just so you know, they don't use lead anymore. So if someone stabs somebody with a pencil, which actually happened in our house one day, they're not going to die of lead poisoning. That's a blessing. It's actually just graphite. Don't worry about it. Oh, kids, you know, kids when they get upset. Let's get back to our track of thought, our train of thought. Knowing and doing the will of God, this is the title, When God Speaks. Always remember that when God reveals what he's doing in your life, it is an invitation for you to join him. You think about the illustration of the sheep and the shepherd. We actually witnessed shepherds in the fields while we were in Israel. They don't do it the same way often we see shepherding done around here. We don't really shepherd sheep. We have fences and we put them out there. My brother raised sheep for a number of years, and I helped him a few different times. And I've come to the conclusion that when God calls you a sheep and me a sheep, that is absolutely not a compliment. Anybody work with sheep before? Wow. Wow is all I can say to that. I learned some things working with sheep. But sheep will follow the voice of the shepherd. Even though my brother Kyle didn't raise sheep the way they did in Israel or still do, where they literally walk through those regions where you can't hardly even see the green of grass or any vegetation at all. It's there, you just can't hardly see it. It's so small. And they have to take those sheep to new locations every day. And they must lead the sheep to where the food source is. If they don't, the sheep will not have food and they will eventually starve and die. They need that shepherd leading. But they follow the voice of that shepherd. And my brother Kyle, even though he didn't raise sheep that way, he did get to be known by those sheep. And they knew when I said things, I was not the shepherd. And it was like, huh? Who are you? And they all just kind of reacted. But when he was there, they all come running to the fence because, oh, daddy's home or something. I'm not sure. But I want to ask you this. Are you a sheep that knows the voice of the shepherd? Do you know his voice? We're going to talk about when God speaks. First of all, you need to understand this. God is speaking. He is speaking. He actually initiates the conversation. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. There's more that surrounds this verse, but I want to be very targeted today, and let's look at this one verse. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." It's God's will for you to do what he's called you to do. That's the bottom line. He initiates the conversation in your life. He has a plan for your life. Are you listening? Are you listening to his call? Are you listening for his voice? Do you recognize his voice? And what is it that he says to you? Well, he says his will. And he calls you to act upon that will of his, which he speaks to you. And he wants you to act according to not your purpose, but his purpose. When we are seeking the will of God, when we are looking to him, when we're listening for his voice, we have to have the attitude of adjusting to him. God does not adjust to you. You adjust to him. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they go to the shepherd. He leads them beside the still waters. You ever wonder why that was so important in Psalm? It's interesting. One of the things I've learned about sheep is, you know, if you ever actually look at a sheep's nose, their nostrils are at the very tip of their nose. So much so that they cannot drink in water that is moving. They will suck up that water into their windpipes and they could actually drown. There's other things I learned. Sheep only lay down on one side of their body. They always do the same side. If they happen to lay uphill, they will not be able to get up, ever. If their feet are above them, they can't get up, and so they'll lay there. They won't think about, oh, roll over. You know, there's an idea. And so my brother, he would get so upset. He'd like, oh, and he actually would name his sheep, but I'm not going to repeat most of the names. And he didn't use bad words. They just weren't very complimentary. And so he have a sheep that's laying there, and it's on the side of this little slope around the feed bin, and it can't get up. And he's like, oh, I got to go roll that stupid sheep over again. And I'm like, what? And he goes over and he grabs it by the feet and just flips it over and out, bump it, up it goes. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the Lord looks at us that way sometimes, I think. Really? You got your feet above your head again. Well, going to have to roll you over. But a sheep knows the voice of the shepherd, and the sheep follows the shepherd because he knows what's good for him. Learn to see things from God's perspective. Allow God to develop his character in you. Prepare your heart to hear God's voice. And I'll say it again, he is speaking. God is always speaking to his children. The problem in our relationship is that I am not always listening. I'm not always asking God, what do you want to do in this situation? Because I've got my own ideas, I've got my own plans, I've got an agenda, I'm busy, I've got things to do. And God is speaking, and he's speaking, and he's speaking, and he's wondering, when will I ever stop to listen so that I can hear the voice that is leading me to the still waters? I must prepare my heart to listen for the voice of God. Develop a heart relationship with God. You must die to your flesh. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when you said, Jesus Christ, I want you to be my Savior. Father God, I will serve you with all my heart, all my life, everything that's within me, and you're born again. Wouldn't it be great if that's the only time you had to die to your flesh? Wouldn't that be just wonderful? You're like, I'm in. I'm in the family. I'm good to go. Woohoo! Yeah, that was awesome. It was a great service. I gave my life to Christ, and you are just full of God's joy and love and peace and harmony and all these great things. And then you wake up the next day. And the love of God is still there. He hasn't gone anywhere. But suddenly you're there again. Oh, hello, Kevin. How are you doing today? Kevin, you want what? Well, I don't know. You don't want to do what? Well, God says I should. And suddenly I'm battling myself. And that's why Jesus said, take up your cross every now and then. Daily. Take up your cross daily. I have to die to my flesh again? I did that last night, Lord. I got born again. Yes, you're my child. I'm not saying you lose your salvation the next day. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying you battle with yourself more than you do with the devil. And I've said this many times, and maybe this sounds a little harsh, but I don't know that I've ever actually met the guy, the devil. He's not omnipresent. Is he? No. I mean, I don't think I'm big enough fish to fry for him. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe one day I did meet him. I don't know. But I know who I am. I know I battle myself every day. I'm my biggest enemy. Are there spirits that we battle against? Yeah. Principalities, powers.
And here's the awesome thing. Those powers that are against you cannot ever separate you from the love of God. They don't stand a chance because of who you are in Christ. However, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. He says, die to your flesh every single day. He didn't say battle Satan every day. He didn't say battle the demons every day. We do battle them. But every day I battle me. And my voice speaks louder than God's voice when my flesh is in control. And I have to die to my flesh. I have to die to myself every day so that I can hear the voice that's always speaking. Always leading. Always protecting. Always guiding. And correcting. Because I need correction as well. My God loves me enough to correct me as he loves you as well. God initiates the conversation in our relationship. He speaks and we hear his voice if our hearts are tuned to him. And when we're tuned to him, we will know and we will do the will of God. God speaks to his people. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. God speaks to his people. In the Old Testament, it says that God spoke to his people through prophets. And it's so wonderful when you begin reading about the prophets and you see the writings of how the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak. They spoke the word of God. The people had a way to hear God's voice, but God used the prophets to do his will. Even kings that were not righteous would say, is there not a prophet of God among us who can give us some direction on this whole thing? Ahab, a very evil king, actually said those words. And of course, the prophet that came to him was one that's always nagging him. One that he never really liked a whole lot, right? Fun stories. They're great. And I love it when the prophets get sarcastic. There's actually a time where it says that God is actually discussing a matter on how he's going to fool the people that have sinned against him. And somebody speaks up and says, why don't you send a lying spirit to them? Can you imagine that conversation? Wow. And so God sends a lying spirit. And I've always wondered to myself, was that lying spirit an angel of God? One of his holy angels? Or was this a sinful angel that had fallen, that happened to have the privilege that day to be in this discussion, and actually says, I'll go and lie. I love lying. I don't get it. I do not understand it. It's beyond me to grasp. But I do know that God's will was accomplished in that whole situation. And I love it when one of the prophets who's lied to by a spirit believes the lie, and then one of God's prophets speaks, and the guy walks up and slaps him in the face. And he says, which way did the Spirit of God go when he left you and came to me? Or left me and came to you, I think is how he said it. That's fun writing. It's like, wow, that's amazing. But here's the point. God spoke. He spoke and his will was accomplished, but that's changed. He doesn't use the prophets like he did back in the day. Now he speaks through the Son of God. Jesus Christ came as the revelation of himself to us. We could go to John chapter 1. We could read verses 1 through 4 and also look at verse 14. And we can see that God, who created this world, became the Word. He is the Word who became flesh. And it says that we have seen his glory. God became flesh and blood. Amazing. Wow.
And so God spoke the world into existence through the Word, and then the Word became flesh and lived with us. We know Him as Son of God. And Jesus taught us all kinds of things that were then written into what we have as a New Testament. He revealed Himself. He taught on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the writings that were given to us were inspired by the Holy Spirit that reveal what Jesus accomplished in His living and also in His death and His resurrection. And now we know that the Word who speaks also is given to us through the Holy Spirit. If you look at John chapter 14, John 14 verse 26. It says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That's great. That's awesome. People are worried sometimes about witnessing to others. Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, what will I say if they have a question about my faith? Or what if I don't know how to answer them? And I just really try to encourage people, you know, that's a very good question. What will you say? I believe that if you read the Word of God faithfully, you will have that Word instilled in your spirit, and you will have knowledge of God's Word. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. But beyond that, you also have the Holy Spirit. And you notice that it says the Holy Spirit will remind you of what Jesus said. I'm going to say something very obvious. In order for you to be reminded of what Jesus said, you actually have to hear what He said. You actually have to have read what He said to be reminded of what He said. I remember going to school. I was a young Christian, and I had a test, and I just hoped that God would just by osmosis give me knowledge. Just give me knowledge, Lord, give me knowledge. And God says, "Study, Kevin, study." I'm like, "Well, no, that's hard work. I don't like studying. I want to go play. I want to go hunting. I want to go outside and ride my three-wheeler. I want to ride horse. I want to go out and have fun. I don't want to study. I mean, study's boring. I don't want to study." But that's what God says. "Study, Kevin, study. And I'll remind you." And I'm so thankful there were times where I was in the middle of a test and I had studied my heart out and I got that fearful, blank, nothing's coming to my mind moment. And I remember the first time it happened where I'm sitting there going, "I know this, I know this. Lord, please help me remember." Boom! There it was. I wanted to high-five God. That's awesome. Well, honestly, the Holy Spirit will help you. He is speaking. He will guide you into what to say. But you have to also read what He said to be reminded. Go to church is a good thing. It's not the only thing, but it's a good thing. Study the Word. When there's opportunities for Bible studies and Sunday school classes, I recommend go. It's a great place to learn more about God and about yourself. He speaks. Chapter 16 of John, and I'm going to have to get moving on this and wrap it up soon. John 16, verse 13 and 14. "When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you." God is one. God has chosen to reveal Himself in three persons. We call Him Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he works in our lives in different ways, and yet he is one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God does not ever contradict God. Holy Spirit speaks only what he is told to say by himself. Yeah, I know, it sounds strange. And he is in your heart. He is in your life. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with you always. The Father who is in heaven is with you in your heart. Yeah, I don't completely grasp it, but I do my best by faith to accept a truth that the God of creation is with me always. And he speaks to me, and he never contradicts himself. However, in order for you to hear his voice, in order for you to recognize the voice of the shepherd, you must belong to him. In John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus put some guys in their place who believed that their father was God. They speak of Abraham, and there's quite the discussion going on in all of chapter 8 with the Pharisees who are standing against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus wraps up the thought by saying in verse 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Wow is right. They are the ones that called for the crucifixion of Christ. They are the ones, the leaders, the religious leaders, that called for his execution because he must be blaspheming God. Certainly he is not from God. And yet the people that had the Spirit of God guiding their hearts and had a spiritual tune that's tuned into God, they recognize him for who he was. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they worshiped him. But those that should have known better did not, because they really were not those that followed God. They followed man. Let that be a warning to the church. You might fool me. You might fool the rest of this congregation, but you'll never fool God. You can be as religious and more religious than the next guy or gal, but if you don't know him, you're not his. And you won't recognize his voice when he speaks. That's sobering, isn't it? That's one of those ugly truths that can scare us in some way, shape, or form. It's interesting, there was one that came before the Lord and said, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not do miracles? And God's answer to that person was, away from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. You know what's scary about that? He didn't say, away from me, you liar, you never did those things. That's not what the Lord said. Which implies those things did happen. That the lame may have walked. The dumb may have spoken. The demons may have fleed. Or fled. Sorry about that. Either way, they didn't know him. How many times have we seen the miracle hand of God take place with people that don't know the Lord? I shudder to think. God can do things in spite of you. He does things in spite of me all the time. I'm far from perfect. I'm not complete. I'm a work in progress. I pray my heart is in tune with the Lord and that I do hear his voice. And that I follow his perfect plan for my life. God initiates the conversation. He speaks to his people. And God speaks with purpose. Will you listen to what he has to say? Please do. Don't be like the religious leaders who missed it altogether and they simply got religion. You need the relationship that guides you. And then you will have life to the full. Would you stand with me as we close?